From your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of The Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one. Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. How's everybody doing out there? I got a special guest today, an old friend of the show. For new listeners, please go into the archives under Food for Thought, and you're going to find many, many interviews with my guest, who I'm happy to have back on the show, Will Tuttle. He is the author of the absolute best book ever on why the world's the way it is and why we eat the way we do and why we shouldn't. The World Peace Diet, it's a book I recommend, actually insist all my students read as part of their curriculum if they want to study spirituality. And I know for some people it's a little bit hard for them to get it, but hey, it happens to all of us. It happened to me 13 years ago when I ran out of excuses. Will not only is the author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony, but Will's got a new video out, a DVD set, which is excellent. Conscious Eating, The Power of Our Food Choices. You can check out his work at worldpeacediet.org, willtuttle.com, circleofcompassion.org, and worldpeacemastery.com. So without further ado, let me say good morning to Will. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Maria. Thank you so much for having me on your wonderful show. I really appreciate it.
No, I'm excited. It's been a long time since we did our series, and it was quite the series. I'm really happy they still live in the archives here. Where are you at now? Are you still traveling around on the road doing your thing?
Yeah, we basically are still, you know, we're 17 years now living full-time in a fifth wheel trailer, an RV, traveling around the United States, spreading the message through concerts, somewhat through music, but primarily through lectures and workshops. And we are in Northern California right now, and getting ready to do a whole series. Actually, I'm going to do a 4-week series in Petaluma on the World Peace Diet for facilitator training. If anybody wants to go more deeply into how to thrive on a plant-based diet, and also how to be effective in advocating for compassion for animals in our world today, which I think is also compassion for humans as well and for ourselves. It's all interconnected, and for the earth and everything. So it's really to understand the big picture of why we have the troubles that we're having.
Right. Oh, the crazy world we live in.
Right.
Will, what did you think of this big scandal happening in Europe about them finding horse meat instead of cow meat in their food?
Well, there's a lot I could say about that, Maria. On one level, it's not that surprising. I don't think anybody should be that surprised. You know, in Europe, it's supposed to be a little bit better regulated than it is here in the United States, which is not saying very much at all, because essentially, as you know, the government agencies that are supposedly monitoring the industries that they're monitoring is a revolving door, and it's the same, basically the same people, and they're gonna, there's a lot of horses that are killed for food when they no longer are living there the way people want them to and don't want to pay for the feed and so forth, so they send them off to be slaughtered. And it's very common to see horse meat in Europe. When I go over to Switzerland or Belgium or Holland, I mean, it's on the menu everywhere. But you know, in England, people, you know, they don't think they have a different relationship. It's kind of like it would be here, too. I mean, you know, people are happy to eat pigs and cows, but they would be shocked at eating dogs or cats. Like when I was in Korea as a Zen monk, I used to see, when I went into Seoul, in the marketplace, I saw the dogs in little cages and how they were sold for meat. And so these animals all suffer the same, and it's just, I think it points out the hypocrisy, really, of our actions when we are happy to be dining on cows and pigs, but are somehow grossed out and horrified that we're dining on horses. And I think it really shows on a deep level how our hearts are divided and how we're kind of, in a sense, somewhat of a schizophrenic society, that we just turn away and don't mind if people do all kinds of horrific torture and cruelty to certain animals, but other ones we think, no, that's really terrible. I'm really upset that you did that.
Right. Don't you think it's a form of spiritual discrimination?
Right. Yeah, it is. It's a spiritual disconnection, I think, essentially. And like you said, discrimination as well. And these poor animals, the literally billions of beings that are just as sentient, really, as any other animals, really as sentient as we are, pigs and cows, chickens, birds, mammals, they're all vertebrates with very complex central nervous systems and so forth, and who are deprived of, not only deprived of the capacity to fulfill their lives, but placed in horrific conditions to live out their lives. And really, quite honestly, whether it's a factory farm situation where everyone agrees it's utterly, abysmally horrible how they're just hyper-confined and mutilated and so forth, or if it's a so-called family farm, there's still enormous violence, killing, routine mutilations of these animals and violence, and they all end up the same way, hanging upside down by one leg, basically, with their throats being slit. So I think the best thing for us to do is to, as you said, Maria, really to have the courage to look at this and to bring our lives into alignment with our own values. And I think when we do that, then we'll be worthy of having the kind of society that we think we want to have, a society of real freedom and joy.
Well, quality. You know, I totally remember that when we were doing our series together, you had said something very profound, and I remind my audience every now and then of it, and it was a great sentence, Will. You said that what we do to animals, we eventually do to people. So when you look at the vaccinations of animals and you look at the dangerously forced vaccines on people, you look at the, remember when they first started RFID chipping animals, now they're doing the same to people. You know, the scarier thing is, of course, the cloning of animals, and what do you think that's going to lead to? Years ago, you know, I came up with all the same excuses as everybody else as a meat eater. I mean, I put it off as much as I possibly could. But I think it was the quote by Isaac Singer in John Robbins' book that really touched me when he said there is no such thing as a meat-eating environmentalist. And I've considered myself an environmentalist, you know, now for, you know, 30 years. So, you know, I had a look at myself and, you know, I used all the same excuses everybody else did, trust me. And then I just said, okay, no more. I can't participate in this. But as a teacher of the medicine wheel and Native American spirituality, what used to amaze me was when people would pick their totem animal, it was always an eagle or a hawk, you know, it was never a pigeon or a bluebird, okay? And I used to say, how could it be that nobody has a totem animal that's a pigeon? You know, because I knew a lot of crappy people that used to like to crap on other people's heads who fit the description of a pigeon pretty good. But even when we were campaigning in New York, on Earth Day, when I put an event together there in 1990, what amazed me was we had a lot of different environmental groups there, especially at that time. One, you know, where they were taking petitions to save the dolphin. And I couldn't understand why it was just save the dolphin. And I would say, but what about the tuna? Okay. I could never understand the discrimination, not even on an environmental level.
Yeah, that's a really good point, you know, because, for example, tuna fish now, and there's a variety of tuna, they're magnificent animals, really. They swim up to 40 or 50 miles an hour, leaping out of the water, celebrating their lives, and they're all basically teetering on the brink of extinction at this point. They're so overfished. And recent research into fish populations and fish individuals has shown clearly that not only are they highly sentient, they're as sentient as we are in terms of the ability to feel pain and panic and fear and so forth and remember, you know, like if they get shocked in a certain part of a tank by an experimenter, they won't go back there again, you know. Mm-hmm. But they're also enormously intelligent at the level of non-human primates in terms right. of problem solving, using tools and so forth. So they've been around a long time, and our oceans are getting devastated. So
right.
I think you're right. It's just that exactly like you're saying, you know, there's certain animals that, like dolphins and eagles and lions, that we somehow identify ourselves with as being sort of top predators. And then the other lower, so-called lower animals, we think, well, no, my totem animal wouldn't be a pig or a cow.
Right. Or like in DC where it should be the rat.
Right. Right. And yet these are, if you really get to know these animals, they have enormous positive qualities. I mean, they're very loving, loyal, curious, intelligent, beautiful expressions of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just that we put them into horrible situations. And really, Maria, we do what we do always to any beings. If we're at war with a so-called enemy, then there's all this propaganda about how these people are terrible, they're deceitful, they're like animals, you know, so that we can kill them.
Right, exactly.
Them so that we can kill them, and we do the same thing to these animals. We wouldn't be able to do the terrible things we do to them if we held them in high esteem like we do dogs and horses.
Right.
But the animals themselves have wonderful qualities if you get
right.
to know them. Everyone says that. Really.
Right. Well, I got a loaded question for you. You've probably heard it a million times, but I want your answer because I'm sick of answering it. What do you say then to people who say, plants are alive and you eat plants? We saw the secret life of plants, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
What's your response to that?
I have basically three responses. You know, the first response, which I think is in a sense the most important one, is simply that if someone is actually that sensitive and that kind and caring and compassionate, that they are really very concerned about causing suffering to plants, then for sure they should be eating absolutely no animal foods. They should be eating a strictly plant-based diet because it takes a fraction of the environmental devastation of plants and trees and forests to eat a plant-based diet than it does to eat a typical Western diet with meat and dairy and eggs, because these animals that we're killing and eating, they all have to be fed. And so basically when we travel around the North America like we're doing, the entire North America has been basically enslaved to genetically engineered monocrops, huge, gigantic fields of corn and soybeans and a few other feed grains like alfalfa to feed to imprisoned pigs, cows, chickens, and factory-farmed fish. And so it's cutting down forests in order to raise crops to feed these animals. It's devastating. So if we care about plants, we should for sure eat a totally plant-based diet. We should go vegan. And on top of that, we're cutting down now an acre per second of Amazonian rainforest, which is causing the extinction of 10,000 species a year, you know, minimum is what they're estimating. And the driving force behind all that is the same thing. It's people wanting to eat meat, dairy products, and eggs. It's to grow soybeans on the Amazonian to graze cattle, to grow soybeans to feed, again, factory farm pigs, cows, chickens, and fish. And so that's number one. It's just if you really care about plants, then
I don't think people say it because they care about plants. Trust me.
Well, I know, but if they do, if they're really being honest, if they're not just, you know, being disingenuous, then that's absolutely, you know, a very important thing. And then the other thing I think it's important to remember, too, which I really think is interesting, is the fact that most of the plant foods that we eat actually do not harm the plants. I mean, it's not that hard. You can leave out the root vegetables. And otherwise, we're eating fruits, apples and oranges and nuts and seeds and all these things. Basically, it's helping the trees. It's actually helping them to spread their seeds. Very often, a lot of the vegetables, the tomatoes and squashes and cucumbers and so forth are all you're not harming the plants. You're actually cultivating the plants. So it's not necessarily violent toward plants to be eating a plant-based diet. We don't stab the tree. You know, we're nurturing the trees. And then the other thing, which I think is sort of a clincher, which just basically gets to the bottom line of the whole thing, is I would just say to someone to just think about this, because if someone were, for example, say next door to you where you're living, someone were to attack a dog, and if you do that, you can go to court, and someone can take you to court for that. And so if you said to the judge, well, the reason I did this, stabbed this dog, was because I really feel that, you know, I mean, stabbing a dog, stabbing a tomato, it's all the same thing. I mean, you would not go just to get fined or go to jail. You'd probably go to an institution for the criminally insane.
You know? Right, right.
Because we all know in our bones that stabbing a dog or a cow is not the same as cutting a cucumber or a tomato. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's anyone who says that, uh-huh. I mean, just to mention that, it helps them to come back to reality a little bit and realize it's literally insane to make that kind of a connection.
Right. All right. Okay. Just wanted to mention that. Now, for my new listeners, and this is something I often, and I don't know how often you get to look at my Facebook page, Will, but I mention you and your work on there regularly. Okay. It seems whenever I put something up there about healthy eating, that's when I get the most violent responses from people. and I'm sure they're meat eaters because they're so damn violent. But what I find interesting, and I continually say this to people, and I have since, you know, interviewed quite a few, vegans. You know, I interviewed Melanie Joy on her book on carnism, which is excellent. But you are truly the only vegetarian environmentalist, whatever we want to put a label on you, the only author, and I will say it and probably forever, that makes this spiritual connection of what we eat to then what happens to our energy inside our bodies on a spiritual level, which is pretty damn gutsy. I mean, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen anyone else ever take on that subject, because that alienates all the new agers and all the people who think they're living this sacred spiritual life. So, you know, that was pretty gutsy.
Yeah, people, it's true. A lot of people don't like that. People who are, like you say, either New Agers who think that they're leading a spiritual life or, you know, scientific materialists. They say, no, that's not true. It's ridiculous. Everything is just matter. And I think, you know, we have to realize that we are all born and raised into a culture that indoctrinates us into a certain way of thinking. From the time we're born, from the time we're little infants, we're learning the nature of reality from our parents, teachers, and the media, and they're telling us that this material level is the only reality. And this is the only culture ever that ever said something so ridiculous as that there's nothing beyond this material, physical level. I mean, if that's all we have, then we're just reduced to being pieces of meat, you know, machines competing with each other to get stuff. It's the most devastating program. It's designed to enslave people. If you have people that believe that this is all there is, they're just going to try to get what they can for themselves. You know, we have to realize that we are infinite consciousness. What we are is essentially of the nature of wisdom and compassion, and we have been forced by our culture to forget the truth of who we are. And to forget the fact that we are interconnected with all, not only our human beings, but with all living beings, and we're part of a celebration of life on this beautiful planet, and that there's no reason for us not to be living in harmony and abundance and health here. There's plenty for everyone. It's just that we are all indoctrinated to look at the world in terms of materiality and competition, and the main way that program is injected into us is through the meal rituals, through making little kids not only witness the adults around them eat the flesh of tortured animals, but make them eat it too.
I know. I remember,
old,
you know.
Old thing.
Right. Well, you know, I remember as a child, because we were Italian and we were poor, okay, it was the 50s. It was before meat and dairy really took a hold on America, that, you know, we pretty much ate, you know, a lot of pasta, a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruit, rarely any meat. And I remember when my mother and father started buying into the, you know, your father worked hard all week to put this steak on the table. philosophy, like it was a sign of richness, that we all balked. I didn't want to eat that crap. I said to my mother, why can't we just have macaroni tonight? And then I think about it, you know, when I have my own children and my grandchildren, you know, when you start feeding them baby food, you start feeding them, you know, pablum, you start feeding them fruits, you know, what little kid doesn't like fruit? You know, they eat it like crazy.
Right.
But the first time you put that spoonful of meat in their mouth, they spit it all over the place. It's almost like intuitively we know.
Right. And yet,
you know, we go against our intuition and we go, as you said, with what our culture says, you know, oh, you know, this is a sign of wealth, or your father, blah, blah, blah. And for me, I mean, in my own act of defiance, I would say I was probably 11 or 12. If my mother put meat on the table, I would put whatever that was on my fork with all my vegetables piled on the same fork. And I would dip it in my milk so I wouldn't have to taste it, okay? And I have to tell you, I got slapped a lot, okay? But I was like, I was just, I didn't know how well I was, I guess it was my first act of civil disobedience.
Right, right. I know, good for you. You know, that shows your spirit and your wisdom was resisting, you know? And I remember even myself when I was only about, I think I was 6 years old, my sister was about two, and my mother, you know, told me, well, feed your little sister. She was sitting in the high chair, you know, with food all over her face, and I was trying to get her to eat, and she would eat everything except the meat.
Right.
My mother said, and she would say, well, make sure she eats her protein, you know, and I would be like forcing it down her throat, perhaps, because I didn't want her to die of a protein deficiency. That's what I was told. Well, she's going to die.
Oh, of course.
She doesn't eat the meat. You know, and it's just a complete myth. It's no truth to it at all, and it disconnects us, again, from our natural wisdom that we're built, actually, to thrive on a plant-based diet. In fact, I don't know if you heard this, Maria, but recently, just like in the last couple of weeks, an interesting new connection was made. I think it's from Johns Hopkins University. An article was published that they've done research, and they discovered that because we have such a serious problem with both breast cancer and prostate cancer. So many men are getting prostate cancer. And they realized that all the mammals do have prostate glands, but only herbivore mammals have seminal vesicles that bring the sperm from the prostate gland and mix it together. And the only animal who has seminal vesicles and eats meat is a human being.
Huh.
Only one. Every other animal has seminal vesicles. They're all classical herbivores. They're all, you know, cows and elk and deer and so forth. And so, again, it's just one of literally thousands of indications that we are eating food that we're not supposed to be eating. It's just like the cows on these dairies and on feedlots. They force the cows to eat huge amounts of meat. It's not because it's in the interest of the cows to eat meat. It's not in their interest. They get sick, but what does it do? It's good for the people who own them, because if they feed the cows meat, they fatten up faster and they give more milk, and so they feed them meat not because it's in the cow's interest, but because it's in their owner's interest. It's the same thing with us. We're not eating meat because it's in our interest, because it's in our owner's interest. It makes us sick and stupid to eat meat.
And
we're easily manipulated and controlled.
We
have to wake up from this program.
Well, you know, they had a study they just released 2 weeks ago. I wasn't surprised. They actually canceled the study because there was no reason for them to continue it. And what they did is they found that the Mediterranean diet is the healthiest diet you could possibly eat. And when I read what they considered the Mediterranean diet, which basically included no meat and a glass of red wine every day, I actually posted and said, this is what I eat. You know, and I'm so tired of people saying to me, where do you get your protein? Because my immediate response after I laugh in disgust is most of the diseases we have now are from too much protein.
Right, exactly.
You know, cancer, diabetes, obesity, strokes, heart attacks, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I had tripped across that film, which I'm sure you've seen, Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead by Joe Cross.
Yes.
And I said, I'm going to try juicing now. So my friends who are already disgusted, never wanting to go out to dinner with me because of my choices, said, oh, my God, now you're going to start juicing. You're going to become even more extreme. Okay. It amazes me that when you're eating healthy, people see it as extreme.
Right.
And I have to tell you, I'm loving the juicing, okay? I never thought I'd be ready for it, but I guess it comes in stages, you know what I mean? When people say, where do you get your protein, this, that, and I say, hey, look at me, you know, I weight train 6 days a week. Do I look like I'm emaciated? Do I look like I'm not healthy? And they don't have an answer. And just a little compliment for you, Will, so my listeners understand. A few years back, I got to meet you in Phoenix. You were doing a lecture. Do you remember that?
Right. I remember that, yes.
And the one thing that I raved about and was astonished by was I don't think I've ever seen anybody as healthy looking and with the kind of bright light in their aura that I saw on you. So I would say your eating choices and your life choices certainly work for you.
Thanks. Yeah, no, you're right. I think it's really possible for everyone. You know, if you're eating death and misery and fear and terror and grief and sadness all the time, which is really what is in animal food, it's unavoidable, the energy of that, it's not going to make you, it's like trying to build a tower of love and joy using bricks of terror and fear. You know, we should think of our meals, I think, as the building blocks of our lives, because not only do we create our physical being out of that, we create our entire life, in a sense, is a manifestation of our actions. So it's one thing to say, I want to have a world of joy and freedom and creativity and equality, and something else to actually bring our lives into alignment with that. And I think when we do, we just feel better about ourselves. It gives us more self-confidence and more self-esteem, which is really important. I think one of the big problems that kids have today is they have low self-esteem, and that leads to bullying, and it leads to competition and all kinds of stuff. And I think one of the driving forces behind it is forcing kids to eat meat and dairy, and they don't feel, essentially they don't realize why, but they don't feel good about themselves because...
No, and if children knew that those little chicken McNuggets or whatever the hell that slime is they're eating is... You know, when children make the connection, Will, between their food and animals, they freak out.
Exactly. They do, exactly. And so that's one of the worst crimes against children, I think, really, is how we hide it, we cover it up, we don't let them know, we force it down their throats. And then when they find out, they're already basically so desensitized that then they go ahead and force it on their kids. You know?
Absolutely.
It's time for us to get out of this cultural trance, and I think... It's happening. I mean, the good news is it's happening.
Absolutely.
You know, I just heard a couple of days, like I guess about a week ago, some really good news from Israel, because, you know, the World Peace Diet was translated into Hebrew about a year ago, and it's been selling really very well, actually, in Israel.
Great.
And a guy, the most popular television show in the morning, it's like the Good Morning America show or whatever it is in the United States. They have one like that in Israel. And they had a woman on, a dietitian. They were interviewing her, and she was talking about the benefits of the Mediterranean diet, like you were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
And she was recommending, just like you were saying, pretty much a plant-based diet. But she also said that it's good to have some fish. And the most popular guy who sort of runs the show, he said, well, wait a minute, don't you think it's possible to get nutrition that you need from plants and the protein you need from plants? You don't have to have fish, do you? And the woman said, actually, you're right. Yeah, you can get it from plants. And then the guy, I just was so glad to hear this, actually. He said, listen, everybody, there's a book that just came out, and it's a bestseller, and it's in all the bookstores here in Israel, and it's called The World Peace Diet. Everyone
That's
should
great.
Go and read it.
That's great. Like I said, it's quiet reading for my students.
Yeah. So it's nice to see, you know, the message is definitely getting out in so many different ways. I think it's unstoppable. Eventually, you know, and the best way, I think, is grassroots. Just tell your friends, work on, you know, try to find out for yourself. I think that's the most important. You don't have to believe, you know what I'm saying.
Right. Read the book. That's all. Just read the book. Now, I want to put a disclaimer in here right now because, you know, when we did our series, I did get a couple of emails from some listeners that were unsettled by it, Will. And they said, your show made me feel guilty. Okay. It is not my intention to make anybody feel guilty. I don't really care what you eat and don't eat. I don't really care what anybody does. All I'm doing is putting out the best information, what I have learned and applied in my life and the benefits I've gotten from it. The choice is always yours. So if you feel guilty, you need to look at that. No one else can ever make you feel any particular way. That's, your feelings are personal. They're coming from you.
Right, and I think it's important also that we don't necessarily have to feel guilty in the sense that, really, in many ways, it's really true, I think. You know, when we go out of our house and we go into town and we see all these people eating at McDonald's and Burger King, you know, eating meat and dairy and eggs and all this stuff, no one is doing it because they're evil, bad, terrible people that want to cause suffering to animals and destroy the earth. You know, no one is doing it for anything like that. The thing is, we're just basically doing it for one reason. We're doing it because we're following orders. The orders come in very early on from the time we're little kids, and we're continually given these orders, really, by our doctors and by the media and everybody, to eat meat and dairy, and from within our own programming. And so to realize that we've just been programmed to do that, it's just programmed behavior. Mm-hmm. And once we understand it, it's like in The Matrix, in the movie, when we get injected with something, hopefully our friends will help us to get it out of us, you know. And I think that's what I think you and I are doing, Maria. We're just kind of like being your good friends and saying, you know, we can get this toxic program out of yourself.
Unplug.
It's not in your best interest, you know.
Exactly. But the bottom line guilty, is, whatever you choose to do, guess what? I'm still going to sleep tonight. So, and I don't know, you know, Will, what I have noticed is, you know, I have been vegan now for 13 years. And my friends now accuse me of having so much inner peace that they call me the fifth element as if it's a bad thing. And I say to them, I really don't let things bother me the way that they used to. And I have to make that connection. If I'm not taking in that violence and the energy of violence or walking around with dead carcass inside me like a cemetery, of course I'm going to feel better, be happier, be calmer, because it's an energy exchange. Everything in life is an energy exchange. You said it best earlier in the show. We are infinite consciousness having basically an experience here.
Right.
So it really is, you know, people's choices. Will, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I want to ask, what in the hell is a guy like you doing writing an article about freedom and slavery, the roots of freedom and slavery? So this will be a little bit shocking and maybe surprising to the listeners. So stay with us. Will Tuttle and I will be right back. Hi, it's Maria. I've got a question. How much more crap are we going to take? We're running out of time, folks, to wake up anyone with ears to hear. Government corruption, government lies, cover-ups, false flags, genetically modified organisms in our food, the heart program, chemtrails over our heads, pharmaceuticals in our water, poisons in our food supply, corrupted elections, being ruled by the elite 1% of 1%. When will it end? It'll end when everyone learns the information that's here on site, in my archives, and the new shows that I tirelessly put out 4 days a week. Available for pennies a day. Get over to maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Pick a subscription of your choice. Get educated and then share that education. I've always believed if everyone in this world knew the information that I present on this show now since 2000, we would change this world on a dime. So ask yourself while you're sitting back there if you've never supported my work, but still listen, how much more crap are you going to take? Get in there and get a subscription today. You'll be so happy you did, and you'll become one of the smartest people on the planet, able to decipher the fake news they give us every day. In instance, just like my listeners always manage to do. So for now, let's get back to the show. Okay, welcome back. I'm speaking with my friend Will Tuttle. Go into the archives if you're new to the show. I have so many great informative shows with Will in there. I know you'll enjoy them. And for all you newbies out there saying, oh boy, where would I start? Quick little free tip. Go over to goveg.com. They will send you a free starter kit on how to start out making better food choices. Okay, Will, I read your article at One Green Planet, and I was like, wait a minute, what are the roots of freedom and slavery by Will Tuttle? And at first it didn't make sense to me. And then, like I said to you a little earlier before we got on the air, it was the one time I was happy not to see my name mentioned in one of your articles.
So, right. Yeah, because, you know, I know what you're referring to. I was basically making the connection, which people really never make, it seems to me, in our culture. It's part of the reason that we do have actually a de facto state of slavery in many ways here. Is that we don't make a connection between the fact that we are literally imprisoning and enslaving so many animals against their will for food, and that we sow the seeds of that, basically, and they come home to roost. They come back to us as we find ourselves more and more in with the government and in situations of totalitarianism. And where we don't really have control over our lives, the same way that the animals don't have control over their lives. And we see this happening more and more through the pharmaceutical industry, the military, the way things, I don't probably have to say what it is. But, and so I just mentioned in there, and I actually named some names of how people on the left, people on the right, people who are new age, sort of conscious, spiritual type people, and people who are even the more radical people who are in the 9/11 truth movement and other somewhat so-called more fringe movements that are, I think, really much more accurate with what they're saying. But that really none of them, and I mentioned some people in the article, like David Icke and other people, and how they never mentioned these connections. But you're right, I didn't mention Maria, because Maria, you're about the only one.
Oh, I think so, too.
It actually does.
Sometimes it's hard being green.
Right.
But, you know, when you talk about, you know, you do start out with slavery and the definition of slavery, and as, you know, Frederick Douglass had talked about it, how the humans were dehumanized by making blacks, you know, mere property, dehumanized the slave owners. And I think this was probably, you know, first they did it to humans, then they did it to animals for a change. How they routinely, and we're talking about human beings out of Frederick Douglass's mouth, shipped, branded, tortured, and beat their slaves into submission and confinement, raped them for valuable offspring, broke up their families, bought and sold their children, and overworked and exploited them for their own ends. Well, that's exactly what we do to the animal world now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's absolutely connected. And in the World Peace Diet, actually, I have on Chapter 2, I go into the whole history of how this all happened 8 or 10,000 years ago in what is now Iraq, how people started owning animals as property for food. They started basically enslaving formerly wild free animals and owning them and confining them and beginning to inseminate them against their will, steal their babies. And it was really the beginning of a culture that was oriented around the male domination of women with the emergence of a wealthy elite class that controlled all the institutions in the culture, the so-called kings and their wealthy. And they were wealthy because they owned livestock. It was really the fabled power of the ranching class is still alive today, actually. And it all goes back. And then the very first word for war that we know of on this whole planet is the ancient Sanskrit word gavya, which means the desire for more cows, because they would go and the driving force behind one of the very first wars we ever had, actually, were people attacking other people to get their livestock. Whole armies would do that. And then whoever lost the war, they had the very first slavery. People started owning other people like they owned their animals. And we had this spread of a very bellicose culture. And we see it going right up until today. It's basically the same thing. And the underlying driving fury that just keeps the whole thing going is people eating animal foods. If we don't realize that we're buying into the system and perpetuating it, by going to McDonald's and Burger King and enslaving animals and becoming willing slaves ourselves by doing it. As we sow, we will reap. If we really want to be free, then we have to let others be free. And that that fundamental teaching, I think, is the one that's starting to slowly get out there. But you're right. I feel sometimes like someone crying in the wilderness here that nobody wants to hear this.
Hey, you got to have a lot of patience, okay? Like I told you, you know, I've only been doing this show for 13 years before. It's really starting to get out there. So you just got to have a lot of patience. I was listening to the watching your DVD last night, the interview that you did with that young man in Hawaii, and there were a lot of really interesting things you talked about. And one was the campaign in Taiwan, No Meat, No Heat, making people in Taiwan being able to make the connection between raising animals for food consumption and all the methane carbon dioxide that's going into the air to create man-made climate change.
Right.
How could it be that people in Taiwan are that hip and people in America don't get it?
I know. It's very interesting. There's just more openness to the message there for a variety of reasons. I don't think people in the United States realize how most of them, I don't think, realize how controlled they actually are, how controlled the messages are, how controlled their lives are. The forces are so powerful that determine what our children will eat and so forth. And it's refreshing, I think, to see other countries where people are actually able to assert more autonomy and talk about issues like this without fear of losing their jobs or being, or being ridiculed. And, however, I think there is progress being made here too. I mean, more and more we can talk about these things.
Right.
And, in fact, I just saw, for example, it's just a small step, but it's a step that the Los Angeles school system, which is the second largest in the entire nation, I think something like 650,000 meals, is going meatless on Monday. You know, that's at least a step in the right direction, I think, at least to get people realizing that we don't have to eat meat every single day.
Right, right. Well, you know, it's interesting. When I started becoming a vegan, there were very little things you could buy in the grocery store for a quick meal. All right? I think there were Boca Burgers. That was it. But I have a close friend, and he tends to eat out a lot with me, or if I cook – and he's slowly but surely coming around to thinking more seriously about his food choices. And the other night I went and I bought this fake Mandarin chicken. I don't even know what the hell it's made with, but I know it's not meat. And I cooked that up for him and, with some vegetables on the side. And he was amazed by how tasty it was. And I said, when I started, you didn't have what I call the in-between products, the stuff that weans you off, the taste of meat, the texture of meat. You know, there's almost, you know, you can buy pretty much everything from ribs to hot chicken wings and none of it's meat. And I think it's that those products are a very good bridge for people to break that addiction. You know, I guess it's like using an electronic cigarette. I don't know. But sometimes you need to have that patch. Do you know what I mean? And
right,
I say,
right.
You know, and there's so many options now that it really isn't that difficult. Just try it. You know, go out, buy these different brands. If you like it, great. Buy it again. If you don't, throw it away. So what? But I think people are starting to become more conscious because of the amount of disease, not just the amount of disease, thinking about what you said earlier, when you referred to sperm. Here in America, men have serious problems with their testosterone. My thought is between the vaccines and the food supply and the filthy water, maybe they're trying to sterilize everybody.
Right, right. Well, it's true. You know, there's so many reasons. For anyone who's at all conscious at all, to stay far away from eating any kind of animal flesh or any animal or dairy's even worse, actually. And fish is probably the worst of all, and eggs. I mean, these things are all, concentrate so many toxins on so many levels of pesticides, herbicides, fungicides, as well as the fear, terror, and grief and so forth. And like you said, I love your comment about in-between foods. That's a good way to say it because I guess you'd say the technology is just leaping. I mean, it's the fastest growing niche in the entire food industry is vegan foods. It's just booming because, and they're coming out now with amazing products. There's these new chicken products and these cheese products and egg. There's this new egg product that
Right. I mean, it's amazing. Anyway, I would have loved to have had all those choices 13 years ago, but I didn't. But now you do. So, you know, just try it. What do you got to lose? You know, people will also say to me, you know, Maria, you know, eating organic vegetarian is expensive. And my thought is, have you priced meat lately? And, you know, have you gotten the price of a heart attack lately? Okay. Which is more expensive? You know, I have a friend who had a triple bypass. His medications every month are $250, and that's probably cheap. So it's like, you know, $250, you know, you certainly can be an organic vegetarian on that every month, you know. Yeah, prices are bad, but they're not that bad.
Exactly. Plus, you know, there's a actually a friend of mine, a woman, wrote a book called Eating Vegan on $4 a Day. And it's really a myth that, vegan eating is expensive, because actually beans and grains and things are really some of the least expensive foods, and vegetables. So really, it's not, it doesn't have to be expensive at all. I mean, meat and dairy are much more expensive, actually.
Right. Now, you know, you see, and you know, even though you don't really talk about it as much as I do, the world condition, okay, America, you know, 2013, who would ever imagine this nightmare police state? And you hear a lot of people talk about, we have to have a revolution, we have to have a revolution. Of course, it always makes me think about John Lennon's song, Revolution, Count Me Out. But you talk about the revolution that would really make the difference, and you call it a revolution of compassion. There is no compassion anymore. I mean, people really have become dog-eat-dog. God, I hate that expression. But that really is explains it. Where's the compassion out there, okay? You know, I got a wonderful note from a new listener, a new subscriber. And basically what she said was, after just listening to the show for about a week, how amazed she is at the size of my humanitarianism. Now, I never thought of myself as a humanitarian. I know that I'm a very compassionate person and always fight for the underdog. I mean, that's just the way I've always been. How do we get that compassion back in society?
Well, yeah, that's really the million-dollar question, you know, because I think, you know, the good news is that compassion is inherent within us. So it's not like we don't have to import it. It's within us. It's just been suppressed by our food system. So that's the key right there, is to, I think, try to help people stop eating meat. I think then the natural compassion will begin to reemerge. I've heard a lot of people say that. I think it's happened to me gradually. And spiritual practices are really important also, you know, to find something that will help cultivate compassion in our lives.
Exactly. I mean, you can't stay in balance in this world the way it is if you don't have some kind of spiritual ritual for yourself.
Right.
You know, I explain to people, you know, the universe or spirit, your higher self, whatever you want to call it, they don't need you to do a ritual for them. We need ritual to make our spirituality real to us while we're in this side of life. So whatever it is that, you know, for some people it's, you know, martial arts. For some people it's Tai Chi. For some they sit in a medicine wheel. Some meditate. You know, it's different for everyone. But without a real, honest spirituality, I don't know how anybody could survive the insanity that goes on around us at 24/7.
Exactly. You know, for me, it was for me, going vegetarian and then going vegan was just part of my spiritual practice. It wasn't anything separate from that. I saw that as I meditated more and more and my mind got more peaceful, I began to realize that my actions directly affect others, and how can I possibly have an aspiration for peace and harmony for myself while I'm sowing the seeds of violence and misery for not only for animals but for the poor people that have to stab these animals. I mean, all the workers have to do the worst, terrible things. And I think at a certain point, the veganism is, you know, in the beginning, veganism is sort of something then it's a commitment. You know, I have to take a vow and be committed and try not to eat foods that maybe I used to eat and so forth. But after a while, I've been a vegan now for 33 years, actually, if I figured it out, since 1980. And it takes no discipline in the sense of, it doesn't make any discipline not to you know, hit people and steal and it's our natural, it's our natural, I think our inherent goodness. It's, you know, it's just who we are. It's no big deal. And we have a natural compassion. So it's just that we live in a culture where that's been suppressed, and it's really a spiritual path, I think. It doesn't have to be anything involving going to church, obviously. It's just connecting with the inner space of freedom and silence within our own consciousness before and beyond the programming. Mm-hmm. And I think the more we do that, the more we connect with our intuition, which is the direct connection we have with a higher knowing, and then we don't have to get our understanding just from other people and from the media. We can get it directly, like you do, I think, you know, from your feelings and from your inner knowing. Mm-hmm. And once when you have a whole population of people who are connected to their intuition, to their inner knowing, then you have a group of people who you cannot dominate and oppress. I mean, they're going to really be empowered, and they're not going to be mindless consumers who think that they have to buy things to be happy. There'll be people who are happy already, so they won't feel craving all the time to go out and get things.
Right.
And that's the beauty of this whole thing we're talking about, is it's about, as we liberate ourselves, we liberate each other, and we liberate all living beings, and we make a planet for our children. And it's very important. I don't think there's anything more important to talk about than what we're talking about right now, because if we don't do it at this base level of our food and spiritual practice, and all the other things are kind of like putting Band-Aids on a gaping hole, and it's never going to cover it up.
Right. And, you know, instead of people feeling that they have to get defensive over a conversation like this, because I used to do the same. I mean, look, we all use the same excuses. Instead of getting defensive, just think on it. You know, just think on it and see where in your life you could make even a little change. You know, maybe meat once a week, you know, until you don't need it anymore. Try those in-between foods. Because I find that a lot of my friends are very surprised. Okay, when I make something with, you know, meat in it, you know, meat sauce or whatever, I don't tell my guest until after they've raved and had their second helping that it wasn't meat at all. So, I mean, if they don't know, that's a little devil in me. I like to test people. And I have one of my friends who's got, her husband is a real Western guy, is a real cowboy guy, is a real big meat eater. And I had her buy some Boca burgers. And I had said to her, if you fry them, they'll taste like meat, okay? They won't if you microwave them or anything else. I said, and I wanted to prove the point that the only thing you really taste in a burger is everything else you put on it.
Right.
So she decided to fry these Boca burgers and pile them high like her husband likes with all whatever people put on them. And he loved it, and she did not tell him it wasn't meat until he had two. So he realized I could eat these, and this helps me cut back a little on, you know, on my meat consumption, because he's starting to, you know, he's in it, he's around 50, and he's starting, his body's starting to feel it.
Right.
So, you know, people just have to, you know, just try it, okay? You know, I like to, I enjoy testing that on my friends. And now one of my friends who is a meat eater wants to have like a little taco party. And he was so impressed with the fake chopped meat that he says, I'm going to use this. So, you know, you just have to, and you're lucky today that you have that stuff, okay? So you have a little bridge in between.
Yes.
But it really is about not just loving your body. You know, I do think, and I don't remember who said it, Will, but it was another very profound statement that said the people that really stick when they change over to a vegan diet are the ones that do it because they love animals. If they do it for other reasons, they tend not to stick with it.
Right.
You know, and yeah. I don't remember who said it, but you know, the more I think about it, you know, to me, I don't want any animal dying because I need to eat. Okay.
Right.
Most of the time I prefer animals to people, like a lot of people do. So it's like, oh no, I don't want to go there. But again, I just want my audience to know this is one of the best books you're ever going to read. Okay. I have my copy. I don't even lend it out. All right. No one gets it. The World Peace Diet. Everybody wants peace, even peace inside your own body, your own home. This book explains why we don't and how we can. So how's that, Will?
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it, and I really do hope that the listeners will at least, as you said, think about these things. Hope to get a copy of the book. It's available in all formats, as an audio book, a regular book, a Kindle, you know, all kinds of ways, and in lots of different languages too.
Well, I'm so happy.
And
for you.
Yeah, and then just think about these things and make the changes, because when we do, our heart just feels so much more at peace, and our creativity prospers. Everything gets better.
Absolutely. Will, thanks so much for joining me again. We'll have to do this more often.
Wonderful. Thank you, Maria. Appreciate
it. Take care and say hi to your wife for me.
I sure will. Yeah. Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Will Tuttle. Get over to willtuttle.com. I got links here if you want to read his article on slavery. I'll put a link to that as well. If you're feeling guilty, please don't. Okay, guilt is a waste of time. You know, just think about what you heard today and trust your own intuition. You know, how do you feel about it? You feel okay about it? Or do you want to try it? Believe me, if you have any questions, email
me. Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria
Show.
People
out. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information, all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.